This couldn't be, one of my messages if I didn't throw in some memes. So I got an introductory meme, okay? So here's my introductory meme. That's a Lord of the Rings throwback, you know. I don't, brace yourselves, you know. So it's begun. All right, so I only have two of them, okay? So I have to really preempt it with this one. All right, so the next one is a reminder for all you mothers, you know, that I know sometimes we try to have kids eat the healthy stuff, you know, but don't go as far as doing stuff like this, okay? This is really too much. Okay. Let the kids have the goodies. All right. And then this is something that's happened in our household before. Our daughter has actually found our presents in the past, you know. Oh, this is rummaging through your, you know, closet, and I happen to come across some gifts. Sure you were. I don't know. Maybe she was. Anyway, the title of my message for today is Christmas in Our Hearts. Okay, and I want to talk about two events that I attended recently. I was praying about the spirit of Antichrist because I went to the Christmas parade, you know, earlier in the month. Anybody go to that? And it was a really neat parade. I mean, it was well attended. I've never seen so many people attend it. You know, yeah, there was like, it was packed out, our usual spot that we usually meet at with our family. I mean, we hardly had any room. I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder, you know, and just chairs, and people parked their cars, and just, it was great. But we were sad to see that of all the floats, I believe Candyland was the theme that they had picked. There was only like two or three that had a biblical theme. I'm talking about like 30, 50 floats and vehicles and stuff like that. You know, so I'm just saying that, remind us all that Satan's worst lies are not the ones that are really outlandish, you know. It's not the devil with the horns and all that, the pitchfork, you know, like, oh, stay away from him. It's the lies that just deviate just a tiny degree, you know. But as you keep going further along, as you know, you're really disconnected from God. And that, so I just want to, you know, just touch on this, that we need to make sure that Jesus is at the center of all this. Then we went to Winter Haven. And it was an amazing time. Anybody went to Winter Haven in Tucson? It's an old neighborhood. It's off of North Country Club, you know, and I'm trying to remember what the other cross street is. But, you know, there was like, I mean, there's like 100 homes there. And every single home, maybe except one or two, you know, Scrooges there. I mean, a couple of people, they didn't decorate. And it's funny, we were joking like, man, this is like Las Vegas. Look at the light bill on this thing. And so I said, we're joking. Oh, this must be sponsored by TEP, you know. It's like Black Friday for them. Yes, this is where we make our bonuses, you know. It was like, but it's true. As we started walking in, there was TEP, sponsored by TEP, sponsored by TEP, sponsored by TEP. So I was thinking, maybe they give them a break. I don't know. I was like, you know, you guys are doing so much for the city, you know, because it's free. And now there's like rides, all kinds of rides are going through. You have to get out of the way all the time because like vehicles are coming through the streets. And but anyway, it was just sad that of those 100 homes, maybe like two or three had like nativity scenes, you know. But it was pretty cool to see there was one guy had a big screen. He was projecting scriptures, you know, with his son. They had a fire and people would gather around the fire. And then they would share the gospel with the people as they gather around their home. And I overheard them. They were praying for the sick. They were praying, you know, just laying hands on people. And just, yes, so it was... You know, so yeah. Anyway, it was pretty exciting. So I want to begin by reading Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, which is our Christmas story. This is not in the Bible app today. I took a break from that today. I was like, I'm not going to do that. This is going to be short. So let's just jump into it. It says, Matthew 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are such important truths that we, you know, that may seem like this is a children's story, but these are key elements of our faith. You know, that Jesus was prophesied about, you know, 700 years earlier, and that he was born of a virgin. Amen. It was a miraculous, you know, birth. Hallelujah. And so we must believe that. And he was sinless, and that he was the Lamb of God that takes away, the sins of the world. Amen. And then I'm going to reach Luke chapter 2. I'm going to jump to Luke because I think these are the two, books that have the most information on this. And it says in 8 through 15, and we read it last week. And there were shepherds, or 2 weeks ago, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on the earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." What an amazing event. You know, just this is not in my outline, but I want to say, when I came here, there were some things in my head that were kind of making me a little anxious, and so the songs that were playing, especially as we were singing that song from, I think it was Elevation Worship, I don't know, Ryan's not here, but what a great song. You know, we did our two carols, and then we did a song, about Jesus, and, "Oh, come, let us adore him." And what I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, there's a spirit of Antichrist that wants to rob, first of all, God of his worship and you of your blessing. And if you will just press through, no matter how you feel, and say, "You know what? God is worthy of all the praise. God is worthy of all the worship. I don't care how I feel. It's not about feelings or emotions. You know, what's going on, what's happening, or it's not what, if my expectations have been met. You know, he is still worthy. He deserves all the worthy praise." Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you, don't let situations steal, first of all, your blessing, and second, the glory that is due to God. Amen. You lift up your hands, you be exuberant, you praise him with everything that you have. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now for my message. So, as we conclude the four Sundays of Advent, which are themed hope, peace, joy, and love, today, I can't help but remember this scripture. I want to encourage you with it. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking." And we're sure going to do a lot of that today, Non-alcoholic type, right? "But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's true. You know, our experience as believers, and as we mature in the Lord, shines brightly as we bring heaven to earth. Don't we pray that all the time? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want what's happening here on earth to look like heaven. And so heaven, there's just peace. There's no striving. There's no anxiety. It's just full of peace. It's full of hope. The Bible says that he's going to dry every tear. There's not going to be any pain. All the things that we so easily get entangled on, or entangled by. We get hooked, by the devil's schemes. Those are not going to be there anymore. So, I just pray that you will have an amazing Christmas full of Jesus, where joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost, you know, will fill your homes as you meet tonight. Hallelujah. As you meet tomorrow as well. Yes. Hallelujah. So the context of this passage, by the way, that I just read to you, Romans 14:17, is actually Paul passing, about Christians passing judgment on others about what they should eat or not. So Paul in turn reminds them that he's persuaded that nothing is unclean in itself. So why do I say this? It's because it's not about how you celebrate Christmas, your particular tradition, your games, your events, your food, you know, maybe a movie, a game that you're going to watch on TV, or whatever that is, you know. The Bible says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it unto the Lord. Amen? I'm going to give you another verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to read from the New King James this time. It says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And I can just stop right there. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Then it falls, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who has you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But what does it mean, sanctify the Lord in your hearts? It means to put Him in a special place above everything and everyone else. To sanctify or consecrate, you know, it means to make holy, to separate from the common. You know, that's what holy means. It's different. It's other. It's a whole separate category. That's what God is. He doesn't want to be in the next, you know, in equal importance as something else. You know, He's got to be more important than every person in your life. He's got to be more important, you know, than every situation, you know, every means, every resource, anything that you have. You know, He wants to be separate and above it all. Amen. So whatever you do, sanctify the Lord in your hearts. That's what it means, whether in word or deed, you know, do it unto Him. Amen. So our worship, I must add, doesn't start or end with singing or prostrating. Sometimes we think that worship is what we do here in church. It's singing, you know, like I said, I like to be very exuberant. I'll raise my hands, I'll kneel down, because I believe that's scriptural. And it's an amazing thing, actually, if you didn't know that, your spirit follows what your physical body does. You know, when I kneel down, I do feel like I'm lowering myself. I'm humbling myself before the Lord. And my spirit follows, you know. You know, when I clap and I jump, you know, and I dance for the Lord, you know, I really feel that I'm rejoicing in Him. And I was telling Ryan the other day, we were talking about praise and worship. And I said, the standard for me, I think I told Pastor Joseph as well, I feel, hey, I'm never going to give the Lord any less than I would give a football game or I would give a soccer game. You know, if I'm going to jump and shout for a touchdown, then I better double jump and shout for the Lord. Amen. Oh, excuse me. Got a little excited on that, you know. So, yes, you got to give Him your best. That's what it means to sanctify the Lord in your hearts. You know, He doesn't want the crumbs falling off the table. He wants the best of you. Amen? So, in the scripture, by the way, the Hebrew word avodah, you know, is one to use to describe service to the Lord, but it's also the same word for work. And I think that what it means to say is whether you're working, or you're doing something meanly or not, if you do it unto the Lord, it's worship. It's service unto God. Amen. So do whatever you do. If you're trimming the tree, if you opening presents, if you're, you know, eating the good food, just say, thank you, Lord, for this good food. Praise you, God. Woo, you are so good. You know, and enjoy it, you know, because He loves to rejoice with you. You know, if you acknowledge Him at that moment, His presence is there. Amen. Hallelujah. And He brings His peace and His joy and His righteousness with Him. He understands very well the bustle and the tussle. Okay, the book of Matthew also tells us that there is three magi, or kings, and other, you know, other people call them the wise kings, that visited Jesus as a baby to bring Him gifts of incense, myrrh, and gold. And I think we also should bring Him a gift. After all, it is His Jesus' birthday, and it should be to esteem Him above all things, to give Him the best of us once again. So for you, giving yourself a break from your troubles to enjoy what's before you, okay? It's okay. Give yourself a break. Take a deep breath. My wife said that to me earlier. Let's take a deep breath. You know, and I think she was all right. Let's breathe in the Holy Spirit right now. You know, have you ever been to a beautiful event that was laid before you, but you missed out on it because something was filling your heart? Some anxiousness, you know, anxiety, you know, some regret, some pain, you know, a situation. You know, don't let that happen to you. Go all out, you know, in this season. Amen. And I want to tell you that God has a soft spot for families. He loves it. He sowed a son that he could reap a family. We've said that before. God so wants a family. He can't wait for you to be in heaven full time. He's already seen it because he's the Alpha and the Omega, and he can't wait for you to get there. But until all this, you know, unravels and you know, all the prophecies get fulfilled, you know, he wants you to establish heaven on earth. You know, let it be there in your dinner time, you know, in your Christmas time. Amen. Hallelujah. And I really believe that God has some very strong feelings. You know, the Bible says that we were made in His image. And how many of you have looked at a child, you know, have looked at maybe your children or somebody else's children, your nieces, nephews, and you looked at them and you just loved them and your heart was just full of tenderness. You know, hey guys, it's okay to not be macho all the time. You know, I want to tell you, I cry all the time now. The older I get, the more I cry. You know, just the waterworks just keep coming. And it's okay. I don't mind being tender for the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to give you a verse that just rocked my world yesterday as I was reading it. It was actually my reading time. You know, I'm reading through the Bible. It just happened to be there. And it was out of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Look at this amazing verse. It's going to bless you. It says, He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. Man, I'm getting excited just hearing that. And look at this. He gently leads those that have young. So if you're a parent and you're like, man, this has been a, you know, a stressful time, God has special grace for you. You know, He gently leads those that have young. He understands the bustle and the tussle, the difficulties, you know. This gives us such an amazing picture of God's tenderness towards us. And a special grace for families with children. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7 says, place all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Tell the person next to you, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You're like, we don't have enough. Thank Him for what you have. Thank Him this day for what you have. I wish I could. It would be better if this, you know. Leave that out of your vocabulary today. Just say, you know, I'm going to sanctify the Lord in my heart today. So it would be a shame that at one of the times of greatest joy, of peace and goodwill, that we'd be anxious or frustrated. Let it not be so for your life. So I want to finish giving you some quick advice. This is practical advice. You know, I like my summary slides, and you guys, I think you guys like them too. So, number one, make Jesus the guest of honor, okay? Make Him the guest of honor. It's His birthday after all. Give Him your best. All right? Check that. Number two, spread love and forgiveness. Spread love and forgiveness. Allow God to use you to bring a little glimpse of heaven to other people. Be spontaneous. You know? Have you, like, paid for somebody's, you know, stuff at the counter, for somebody's gas, you know, give a strong greeting or warm greeting to maybe somebody behind a cash register, you know, or that person at the store. Be spontaneous and just love on people. Spread God's love and forgiveness wherever you go. Let's be agents of God's love. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Instead, be kind to each other. Actually, I don't think I have it up here, so I'll just read it. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted. And I love that, tender-hearted. I didn't used to like that word, but I really love it. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So let's give back to, you know, what the Lord has given to us. Amen. All right, number three, it's about giving, not receiving. It's better to give than to receive, you know. And I'm talking especially to young people and children. If you're in here, you know, just be grateful for what you get, you know. Even if it's underwear, even if it's that scarf, you know, just thankful that you get something. You know, there are many people out there who are not getting anything. You know, so it's just a day to think about giving to others. Right? Is that okay to say that? You know, I think, you know, you guys understand why all the holidays are so big in America. It's all about marketing. I mean, I hate to say it. A lot of companies make a ton of money. Everybody go like this. Yes. I've lost a lot of money this Christmas. You know, even Thanksgiving and for some, you know, Halloween and all that stuff, you know. It's just the, Easter, you know. They turn everything into a marketing, you know, scheme. And it's sad. You know, remember what Jesus did to those money changers. He said, hey, they come here to worship me and look what you're turning it into. You know, money-making scheme. Well, the Lord is going to judge them, but we don't wish them that. We want God to, you know, to meet them where they're at. But remember, it's about giving, you know, and not necessarily about receiving. All right, and manage expectations. I would say this to, you know, the Marthas out there. Remember Mary and Martha, Lazarus, you know, sisters. You know, one of them was all about making preparations. And sometimes things don't go the way you wanted. And somebody forgot something, or the roast burned down, or, you know, and you wanted Pizza Hut and they brought Little Caesars, you know, or something like that. Yeah, it was cheaper, you know. I don't know. Just manage your expectations and be grateful and just stay relaxed, you know, enjoy, you know, the Christmas season, all right? It's okay if things don't turn out the way you envisioned them, all right? Just enjoy being with your family. And last thing, have fun. Have a lot of fun, you know, and something that doesn't sound godly, it's very godly. It's very godly. God rejoices with us. He, you know, the joy that you have in your heart when you shout with happiness, God put that there. You know, that I don't really like, you know, how a lot of movies picture Jesus as this very stoic man that he knows where everything that's happening, nothing phases him, everything's perfect, you know, and he just like doesn't even smile. So I actually like the book of Matthew. I think it's one of my best, better depictions to me of Jesus because they call him the laughing Jesus because he was always rejoicing and being friendly to people and just hugging people. And I think that's how Jesus was. You know, he just had fully embodied all the emotions that God has for us. Amen. So I'll finish with this scripture, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago, that there's a time to grieve, but there's also a time to rejoice. And at this time, you know, when they had come back from the captivity, it says that Nehemiah and the scribes and the priests, they began to read, you know, the scriptures to the people. They hadn't done that for years and years and years. They had forgotten about the scriptures. And they're reading it for the first time. So when they're hearing the scriptures, then remembering all that God had said to them, the first thing they began to do was to weep. But God stopped them. God stopped them. And look what he said to them. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is holy. It's special. To the Lord your God, do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that is my encouragement for you today. Do not grieve. Rejoice, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let us stand. Hallelujah.